Hey everybody, Jason Burmis here, and we are live. This is the Sunday broadcast. I want to apologize out of the gates. Luke is still out of town. He will maybe be joining us a little bit later in the broadcast via Skype. I tried to get a co-host so hard today, but being Labor Day weekend, a lot of you folks are out there having the drinky drink and the barbecue, and we definitely encourage that sort of thing. Friends and family are extremely important. However, the show must go on, the truth must be told, and this broadcast, anyway, is going to remain live every Sunday. We don't miss a beat here, and we can't miss a beat here because there are so much important topics that are glossed over, that are spoken out against without understanding. And for instance, you know, before starting this broadcast, I think it had 7 dislikes and 6 likes. We hadn't even broadcast anything. Where are these 7 dislikes coming from? We did a live stream yesterday about the possible imminent impeachment of Trump, and that's what we're really going to lead off with this broadcast, because there's even more news coming out that we did not cover yesterday. And that doesn't mean that I'm pro-Trump impeachment. Far from it. Okay? The only reason Trump is being impeached is because he does oppose the status quo ever so slightly. Ever so slightly. I'm not getting on a Trump train, and we'll have some stuff that takes Trump to task in this broadcast. Syria, Israel, the Philippines, a lot of other stuff. However, when you look at the quote-unquote Russian collusion, the Russian nonsense, it is that. It is nonsense. And I just want to say thank you to everybody that's hit that join button, $4.99 a month. I believe Klitsch, you're in the audience. Thank you so much. It's as good as a super chat to us. By the way, with this format, I am going to be taking your super chats. I will answer your questions. I'll try to stay as active as I can running the show, talking about these things, and keeping up in the chat room. But first, I want to explain to everybody how this thing works, because you know, when I say thank you so much for the join or the Patreon or buying a t-shirt, you have to understand we really are. This video has already been demonetized. I have already asked for a manual review. And if you take a look just this week, for instance, I broadcast that Trump video almost 24 hours ago. I think I did it at 9:30, so 22 and a half hours ago. It has 12,000+ views. I've requested a review. It's still not reviewed, okay? Actually, what was it? 2-3 of my videos this week were actually approved out of, I believe, 6? Let's take a look. The New Mexico compound, which we're going to be going over in depth, because after I put this little mini doc together, because the case is so shocking, it really needs to be examined. They were actually picked up the next day, the 3 out of the 5 that were released. So the FBI has them in custody. We're going to be getting to that story later on. Then I streamed the bombshell information that the CIA had a lot more knowledge about 9/11 than they have acknowledged in the past. Who would have thunk it? And now Newsweek is even coming to grips with the fact, yes, Newsweek, that the CIA maybe tried to recruit some of the hijackers. Believe me, it was beyond that, but maybe kind of, sort of, the CIA was trying to recruit the hijackers now. Okay, sure, that's what happened. Let's see, the Dan Dix live stream from last week has been monetized, and my video about John McCain, which was more than fair. I mean, we're still seeing this stuff in the media. John McCain's story is far from gone. It's been used as kind of like this political football like I've never seen. I want to make that point right now. John McCain's funeral has been politicized like nobody in the past 5 to 10 years that I can think of politically. And will there be such regalia, such media madness over somebody like a Gerald Ford, who was the president of the United States, is still with us, or somebody like a Jimmy Carter, who in some respects I actually very much admire? And I'm going to give you the answer. No. No. And mark my words, when those people die in the next few years, perhaps George Bush will get a rollout like this, because he was so establishment, so quote-unquote new world order, so globalist, that he may get the rollout McCain did. McCain was never our president, okay? The other two will not get that kind of rollout, and let me tell you why, because they're not anti-Trump. Now, if they were in the media every day bashing Trump, you better believe it. And, I mean, I can't believe I can't believe the news is like hyping up that Bush handed, this is George Bush Jr., handed Michelle Obama a piece of candy and their friendship. That's a story? They smiled at one another. What? And then I've got to worry about Ariana Grande's ass and Bill Clinton and her getting groped by some preacher I've never heard of. That's the hype news, the stuff that they don't want you to take your eyes off. That's what they want you to pay attention to, the infotainment nonsense that buys into their narrative. So again, folks, you take a look at this. You know, let's look over. I'd say about half of these. That's a good string of monetized videos after they demonetize them right there. Luke did one about the free press. No. If we get down to the Portland stuff, that's all demonetized down here and into the next page. So, guys, again, our videos don't even get a chance. Again, almost 13,000 views less than 24 hours ago. That automatically is not seen by the algorithm. That's not going out as a suggested video because YouTube can't make money on it. Doesn't matter. It was 100% accurate, and I'll stand by every single word. Respect to you too, Monopoly Money, one of our subscribers out there. He or she has joined. I'm not sure if it's a man or a woman, but great comments all the time. Doesn't really matter. So let's get into the news. And remember, we're going to be taking your super chats first, and we really do appreciate them. This is Leon Panetta, okay? Leon Panetta, former CIA chief under the Obama administration, right? Okay? This is pre-Brennan. This is another one of these deep state globalist lying scumbags that knew that they were spying on the American people, that knew they were running covert operations in the Middle East, that knew they were using torture, etc., etc., etc. These are the pro-authoritarians, okay? And here he is. Now, he's warning you here. This is actually some foreshadowing. I'm telling you, this is at all costs to somehow bring charges upon Trump, and I'm going to show you that right here. Here he goes. They're building the obstruction of justice case. Here we go.
The Mueller investigation, and Rudy Giuliani told the Daily Beast this week that Trump's legal team is preparing a counter report to question Mueller's legitimacy. Do you have concerns that the Trump team can undermine this investigation even before it's finished?
Well, you know, Bob Mueller is focusing on several things right now. Obviously, he's gone after individuals. And he's gone after Russians that were involved in coming after our election system. They are getting very close to making a case for obstruction of justice, not only by the steps that were taken in terms of the president demeaning and attacking a witch hunt, but also the fact that Rudy Giuliani himself has said that the whole purpose of their effort is to undermine the credibility of the special counsel. And then when you add to that the dismissal.
Let's just stop that right. Their whole purpose is to undermine the special counsel. Well, since the special counsel is in imagination land on a Russian collusion charge that is non-existent and has no evidence other than what these deep staters try to set the president up in some ridiculous meeting that seems to be orchestrated by Fusion GPS. I mean, that's what the facts show. You haven't shown any Russian collusion whatsoever, Panetta. Not a thing. Doesn't matter. Guys like Al Gore. My only message to Trump would be to resign. Again, another man who never held the office of the presidency. But I do want to say this. A lot of these VPs become very prominent afterwards, whether they take the presidency or not. The only one that really hasn't in recent past would be Dan Quayle. Okay, other than him, think about it. You got Reagan, and then you have Bush Sr. Bush Sr., forget about it. The guy behind the scenes under the whole Reagan presidency, the guy that helped Dick Cheney, Paul Wolfowitz, and Donald Rumsfeld revamp the continuity of government program. If you don't know about that, I have a section in Fabled Enemies all about it. That's where they really restructured our somewhat system of checks and balances still had huge problems into this shadow government system that was fully activated on the morning of 9/11. That's right, the continuity of government or the shadow government, again, it's in Fabled Enemies. They were in control on 9/11. They're the guys. Okay? So, George Bush, I'd say he's a pretty important guy. Then a guy like Al Gore almost wins the presidency, the back and forth. George Bush Jr. gets it, but he still maintains a large presence in popular culture. He's the inconvenient truth guy. Many, many other globalist ideals espoused by him outside of the idea of a carbon tax. Had his failed sequel come out in the last couple years to an inconvenient truth. Well, the inconvenient truth is you're trying to make a profit off of climate change, which is not really even defined by you guys except for carbon credits and you making money. For basically me living, having an extra car, having an extra child, having a big home. My carbon footprint is too much for you. So he's kind of a big deal. So why do I bring all this stuff up? Well, under Obama, Joe Biden, you know, he was one of these guys that spoke. He cried at McCain's funeral. Someone else there rolling out everywhere. So, you know, now Mike Pence... You know, if this all goes down, and it might, we don't know where it's going to go from here. Pence thinks it might go down. Pence takes them at their word. He actually told that to them in an interview to CBN just this week. Take a look.
There's a lot of talk about impeachment if Democrats do take control of the House. Do you think Nancy Pelosi is already plotting an impeachment strategy?
Well, they're all talking about it, and so I take them at their word, even though some of them have decided to not talk about that quite so much. Look, the American people understand the choice in this election is do we want to continue our nation on a path that's...
And here we're going to go into some, you know, rhetoric and some politics, but he takes them at their word. He thinks it's very, very possible, and so do I. And last night in our video, we talked about the fact that they're now talking about using a state attorney general to bring charges against Trump. And, you know, I'm seeing in the comments, for what? For what? For what? Remember, Bill Clinton was impeached for lying about having sex with Monica Lewinsky in a taped deposition in a lawsuit. Okay? That was enough. Trump has been smart. He has not given a court deposition on anything regarding this, and he should not. And that's, you know, I would say the move that has saved him so far, because obviously with the Manafort indictment, with Cohen flipping, with more and more dominoes falling every single day, and of course, this new revelation about Papadopoulos, and this is so ridiculous and over the top, doesn't prove any kind of collusion whatsoever, doesn't prove anything. I'm not even sure it happened. There's no proof it actually happened. Papadopoulos doesn't want to do prison time, okay? He doesn't have that Manafort money. He doesn't have that Cohen scratch. He doesn't have that kind of cheese or power. But this is out of the Associated Press. He nodded, Trump nodded, at the suggestion of a Putin meeting. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. Putin meeting. Let's read it right now. Oh boy, this is just so unbelievably ridiculous. President Donald Trump nodded with approval at the suggestion of a meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin, according to a court filing Friday night that seeks leniency for a former campaign aide who lied to the FBI. Leniency! It seeks the... we'll give you leniency. Come on. I mean, this is so in your face. Anybody paying attention? Anybody paying attention knows what this is. This is a shakedown. This is a leniency. Oh, you're going to go to prison for the rest of your life unless you make something up. I make something up. Lawyers for George Papadopoulos are seeking probation, saying the foreign policy advisor misled agents during a January 2017 interview not to harm an investigation, but rather to save his professional aspirations and preserve a perhaps misguided loyalty to his quote unquote master. To his master. I like Reuters. I like the Associated Press. I'm glad that they're out there. But when I read stuff like this, I can't help but just laugh my ass off. You got a low-level minion that is willing to say, not that Trump said, listen, we need to sit down with these Russians. We need to make a plan. We can do this. We can win the election with Putin's help. Get Vladimir on the phone. Get him on the line. He's not saying that, is he? No, certainly is not. He's saying there was a suggestion of a meeting with Putin or to get in touch with Putin. And Trump did not say, yes, let's do that, or yes, we need to, or anything else. But he just knew. He gave him the... It reminds me of what... Is he at an auction? Is it, yep? Like, okay, he didn't even give the yep. He didn't even give the yep. Nod it over. Let's continue into this thing. Because this is honestly the next move, folks. That's what people don't understand. This gives them more and more time to further their investigation, whether there's any reality to it or not. Papadopoulos is a pivotal figure in special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation as the first Trump campaign aide to plead guilty and cooperate with prosecutors. The revelation that he'd been told by a professor during the campaign that Russia had dirt on the Democrat Hillary Clinton in the form of emails helped trigger the FBI's counterintelligence investigation in July 2016 into potential coordination between Russia and the Trump campaign. Dun, dun, dun! It's so hard. It's so hard. And again, Giuliani has been really smart, but you don't think that this is a play? Remember, we're going to get into the Manafort trial because the Manafort trial is not over. A lot of people don't understand that. He got convicted of 18 counts of the first trial. Okay, of the first trial. There's more to come. And that's being postponed, but we're going to get into that, which is giving him more and more time. Remember, he told Giuliani at first, and I don't like Giuliani. Giuliani, this guy is a weasel. Look at that weasel. He's a liar. He's a weasel. He's a lawyer. He's a gangster. He's a guy that helped cover up 9/11. He's a guy that had presidential aspirations himself after 9/11 and failed because nobody wanted him. Couldn't win a debate to save his life. He's not a great speaker. He's not a great orator. I don't really know how great of a lawyer he is, but he's been smart enough to keep Trump from actually being interviewed and giving a sworn deposition, which would take him down, okay? But, as I said, he hasn't even talked or been in touch with the Mueller team in weeks. In weeks! Dunzo. So that shows me that they're making a move. Absolutely making a move. And a lot of people are talking about a midterm victory, the blue wave for the Democrats, giving them the ability. Whether there's actual crimes committed or not, remember, obstruction means a wide variety of things. Ari Velscher talking about a state attorney general to step in and charge the president. There's a wide, they are looking at every, they want this guy out so badly. And so many people are playing team baseball with politics, thinks it matters if you're blue or red, conservative or liberal. They want to use the term cuck and libtard. They don't want to talk to people like a human being. They want to be divisive. That's not what this is about. It's about coming together and calling a spade, and letting people know that this ridiculous Russian thing has to end. Let's focus on some real issues. Let's focus on the fact we're wasting all this money in a new military spending bill on top of Space Force. Let's talk about Yemen. Let's talk about Syria. Let's talk about Israel and Palestine. We're going to talk about Palestine later on in the broadcast. Oh, man. So here we have Roger Stone coming out saying he thinks he's about to be indicted, okay? Now, Roger Stone is not to be trusted. I encourage everybody to go check out the Netflix documentary on Roger Stone. Is he better than some? Sure, but he is him. And by the way, Manafort, not a good guy. Him and Manafort together are like the godfathers of lobbying, which should be outlawed, which is literally the monetary influence of your politics on every single level. That's what Roger Stone does. That's what Mr. Stone does. Whoop, over here. This guy right here. Yeah, that's what he does. Okay? He helped people buy a voice in politics for decades upon decades. You could argue he did that in the last presidential election, being an advisor and then leaving, but really working for Trump the entire time. I mean, he still is so pro-Trump. It's hard for me to believe that Roger Stone is not a Trump operative. So that tells me that he's done illegal things. Remember, Roy Cohn mentored this guy. Roy Cohn, mob guy. So if they want to find dirt on Roger Stone, I don't think they're going to have to dig that deep. So they will indict him. He's saying it's made up. I would say the same thing. There'll be a lot of things going on in court. At the end of the day, the possibility, because of this meeting, for them to go after, say, Don Jr., that's also there. So Don Jr., again, the mainstream media, what could happen to him? Potential legal troubles. Going after the president's longtime friend and advisor and operative, and then his son. It's all the real deal. All the real deal. So, USA Today asking, can Donald Trump be indicted while he's president? Well, we also had that conversation, right? We were talking about the Ari Velscher, MSNBC, whatchamacallit, state attorney general way around this. But again, if they pitch his son, it could be just as effective. Your son is going to be tough. And here's Vox Media, who recently attacked We Are Change, Mark Dice, Lauren Southern, Gavin McGinnis, and others as extreme creators. And this is their headline. The only reason that Trump hasn't been indicted is that he's the president. Well, let me tell you something. No, the only reason he would be indicted is he's the president. What do I mean? He's a top-level businessman, a 0.001%, or maybe 0.001%. Okay? Not the imagination land 1% that everybody tries to talk about. Because if you looked in the United States at 1%, it's not that much. It's your neighbor. It's the person running a small business that does well. This guy's much higher up than that. He can buy his way out of most things. Paul Manafort bought his way out of most things. Michael Cohen, lawyer, bought his way out of most things. So there would not be an indictment on Trump. There would be some kind of a civil case. And then he would win or lose and pay some money. No one was interested in taking Donald Trump, okay, to criminal court until he was the president of the United States. So here it is, Vox Media, you partnered with YouTube, you're part of the news division, huge conglomerate, by the way, all sorts of different online publications associated with them, but don't believe me, please go look it up. And the only reason that Trump hasn't been indicted is that he's president. Shenanigans. It's just not true. That's the epitome of fake news. Okay? They would never have gone after the man for this level, other than he is the president of the United States, period. And now Manafort, again, wants to move his D.C. trial to Roanoke. He's probably right. He probably can't get a fair shake in D.C. I don't think he's going to get a fair shake anywhere in Virginia, but that's where it's going to be held. But at the same time, by delaying the trial for 2 more weeks, yeah, it gives him and his lawyers a little bit more time to prepare, but what it really does is it extends this Mueller operation indefinitely. Indefinitely. Not that it was going anywhere. That there's no cap on their budget. We had a cap on the 9/11 budget. That's what drives me nuts. Robert Mueller covers up 9/11, lies again and 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 again. Michael Chertoff lies again and again and again and again and again. All these monsters. Ashcroft lies again and again and again and again and again. All of them. Nothing happens to them. Their budget was far less than this. They were given a time frame. They worked out what the overall report was going to be before doing any kind of investigation at all. Thomas Kean, Lee Hamilton are monsters. They were not interested in telling you the truth. And again, Robert Mueller, a verifiable monster and demon, is being aggrandized as some kind of superhero without a cape. Not all heroes wear capes, Mullers. Not all demons wear horns. That's the real deal. So here we go with Manafort. And if you look, this is what's the real big news. And this is wacky, okay? New York Times article. Agents tried to flip Russian oligarchs in the fallout spread to Trump. Now, this is the weirdest article ever because they're trying to, again, associate Donald Trump with Russian oligarchs. That's not what this does. This shows that these Russian oligarchs actually worked with Mueller and the FBI years and years and years ago. Let me repeat that. That's what's in this article. That the guy you are looking at was actually commissioned by the FBI. He's a billionaire. To spend $25 million of his own money to rescue a U.S. operative. Supposedly that fell through, but it showed that they had been working with each other for decades. So this guy, who's a Russian oligarch, who'd been working with the FBI for decades, they try to get him to flip on Trump, but he doesn't have any information because it's not true. Do you not understand what you're reporting, New York Times? And Zero Hedge has just a great breakdown on this. We're going to read it. Russian oligarch Oleg Deripaska, a close associate of Vladimir Putin, has gone on the record with The Hill, John Solomon, admitting to colluding with Americans leading up to the 2016 U.S. election. Except, it might not be what you're thinking. Deripaska, rumored to be Donald Trump's back channel to Poot-Poot. He's the back channel, guys. This is it. Via the Russians' former association with Paul Manafort, says he colluded with the U.S. government between 2009 and 2016. There it is, 7 years. In 2009, when Robert Mueller was running the FBI, the agency asked Deripaska to spend $25 million of his own money to bankroll an FBI-supervised operation to rescue a retired FBI agent, Robert Levinson, who was kidnapped in 2007 while working on a 2007 CIA contract in Iran. This in itself is more than a bit strange. There's so much deep state activity going on in that two paragraphs. We really, really, really need to break this down. So number one, a Russian oligarch that was working with U.S. intelligence confirmed from 09 to 16, 7+ years. That's just what's confirmed, all right? Is running an operation in 2009 while Robert Mueller, Mr. Deep State, is running the FBI. And the operation is to get back Robert Levinson, an ex-FBI agent, who in turn later works for the CIA. The CIA, folks. Okay, so now that just shows cross-platforming within these agencies. And that's how it works when you're a good little Deep Stater. Parapolitics. Check out Peter Dale Scott. That's how the intelligence community works. You work for all these different networks. Okay? So, here we go. He's going to use the money to help out Mueller. I guess the operation goes sour, but this is a CIA contract for what? More warmongering in Iran. What do you think? They weren't sowing civil discourse. They weren't spying on Iran. What do you think? Their motives were good? They were good? Think that's why Levinson got captured? He's on a CIA contract to spy on Iran. He gets caught, and they're using the Russians, who are supposed to be our enemies. Remember, they're our enemies. They're selling us this whole new Cold War idea. They're the enemy. But wait a minute, they're not the enemy. This guy is helping them, the establishment, the entire time. Deripaska agreed, however, the Obama State Department, headed by Hillary Clinton, scuttled the last-minute deal with Iran before Levinson could be released. He has not been heard from since. So apparently they didn't get him out. FBI agents courted Deripaska in 2009 in a series of secret hotel meetings in Paris, Vienna, Budapest, Hungary, and Washington. Agents persuaded the aluminum industry magnate to underwrite the mission. The Russian billionaire insisted the operation neither involve nor harm his homeland. So again, now we're going to get into the Robert Steele connection. As the New York Times frames it, distancing Deripaska from the FBI, no mention of the $25 million rescue effort, for example, the Russian aluminum magnate was just one of several Putin-linked oligarchs the FBI tried to flip. The attempt to flip Mr. Deripaska was part of a broader clandestine American effort to gauge the possibility of gaining cooperation from roughly half a dozen of Russia's richest men. Central to the recruitment effort were two central players in the Trump-Russia investigation, twice demoted DOJ number four official Bruce Orr and Christopher Steele. Let's repeat this one. So two of the people embedded in the PP dossier, in the document that essentially got the warrants for the illegal wiretapping and this whole nonsensical investigation, Orr and Christopher Steele, were that balls deep in Russian politics trying to flip influential members there. Huh. Nothing fishy there. Oh, boy. So, you know, I just want to move on, but, you know, to get into the Trump derangement system and how it really has divided a lot of us. Everybody remembers, it's got to be a month or two ago, probably 2 months ago, when this guy right here, he didn't want to make America great again. And that's fine. You don't have to love Trump. I don't love Trump. I'm not sitting here talking about all the great things he's done. I'm just talking about how ridiculous the Russian accusations are. Well, this guy who decided to take a teenage kid's hat and throw a drink in his face got arrested and indicted. And you know what? I know there's a lot of those anarchists out there that are, you know, just anti-police on every level. And believe me, I think police corruption and police brutality are one of the top issues that are being ignored, okay? Ignored in this country and globally. And I think it's a real problem. We inch closer and closer to a police state every day. We arm these people now with drones, military equipment. You know, policing is not the same that it was 30 or 40 years ago. But again, we need them because there are some bad people out there. People do need to be arrested. Law enforcement does help the good guys out there. My town where I live, I was walking, Friday night, met up with an old friend I hadn't seen in probably like 7 or 8 years, another buddy of mine. Went down to the local redneck bar, the Wagon Wheel, had myself some midnight wings, feeling pretty good. You know, a lot of college kids in town, a lot of streets. Ugh. I got a fraternity house next to me now. They just moved in. It's a nightmare. I have two small children in the house. Had to talk to one of those guys. Awful stuff. Glad there's law enforcement. But I walk out, and a full-on glass window is just smashed. And not smashed well. Like, there are big shards that could obviously hurt people. There's tons of people out there with alcohol. And I get it. You know, anarchy, everybody takes care of you. You know, everybody else and the owner of the building will take care of it, or somebody else, or Good Samaritans. But no, it was the police that came over and, you know, fenced everything off and made sure that nobody got hurt. So thank you to the good law enforcement officers out there. the good people out there, the good Samaritans, the people that wouldn't smash a window. So, moving on to some of the things that we need to improve upon on Trump. I kind of highlighted a little bit of this yesterday, but the U.S. now has confirmed it is to end funding for UN Palestinian refugees, and I think that this is a very, very bad thing. And a lot of people attacked me and said, well, Jason, aren't you against the United Nations? Absolutely against the United Nations. I don't like that we're having to do this through the UN. But at the same time, any aid to Palestinians and refugees is absolutely necessary because of our lockstep with Israeli policy. And this administration, above really all others, has given Israel everything they have wanted. Everything they have wanted. Syria, that's the real deal. They're sticking in Syria. And we're going to show you an article where a top-level official, in fact, is that right here? Let's just go to that really quickly. Here it is right here. U.S. strategy in Syria. This one's at an activist post. I think it's also on anti-war. Create quagmires until we get what we want. That's not... And by the way, thank you for the super chat. Let's see what that says right there. Do you know why, Day Way? Stand with Palestine. Don't believe the hype. Have a great Labor Day weekend. Well, you certainly have to stand with Palestine when their freedom is being encroached upon. They live in a basic prison. They are walled up. They try to protest on the Gaza Strip. And as I said, you know, we're ending their aid, but Gaza protesters, forget about them. The medical workers that are aiding the protesters are the ones in great danger. Okay? That's real. Think about that. These are people that aren't even protesting. They're just there to try to help people that get pepper sprayed from these little drone bombs where they hit them with like a gas. It's craziness. Craziness. And that's if they don't get sniped out. That's a very real thing. We saw that as Jerusalem became the capital and 50 plus Palestinians were slaughtered on the border. Nobody in Israel was hurt. Nobody was lobbing, makeshift bombs or Molotov cocktails. That wasn't going on. Wasn't going on. Each Friday, volunteer medic Asuma Kadi goes through a tense ritual. She prays, kisses her mother's hand, and packs a bag with medical supplies as she heads to work at the weekly mass protests along Gaza's borders fence with Israel. Treating the wounded has become dangerous for Gaza's emergency workers. In the past 5 months, three medics were killed by Israeli army fire, with dozens more, including Kadi, hurt by live fire or tear gas canisters. So let's just put this into perspective. A female medic whose land is being occupied by a large military force and ethnostate has to worry about getting shot and killed because she has the heart to take care of protesters who are shot at, injured, hurt. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So again, we're lockstep with Israel. We're staying in Syria. We're going to create the quagmires. That's why ISIS isn't fully defeated. We're not out of Afghanistan. We're not leaving Iraq. Iran is very much on the table. And remember, I said how pro-Israeli the Trump administration is? Well, I think that that's very contradictory for the people out there that think that Israel has some kind of a magical power and control everything. Nobody is saying that AIPAC is not a force, that there's not Israeli influence in the United States. But if this were the case, if they were the end-all be-all, do you think they would be allowing Trump, for instance, to be impeached? He's giving the foreign policy-wise, you couldn't get any better. Everything. Everything. So, I mean, are they hoping he gets impeached so they get, you know, a bigger actual Christian Zionist in Pence? Because Pence may be the real deal religiously. I have not seen a lot of dirt on that man. He may really think that we need to bring back the Messiah, that the Dome of the Rock needs to be taken out, and Solomon's Temple needs to be rebuilt. And he may believe all of that stuff. Okay? I don't know. It's hard to tell what these people actually believe because they're so two-faced. They're so prepared to speak. They're so comfortable in front of a camera, in front of large crowds. Very, very hard to put my finger on the pulse of somebody's soul. Okay? So I want to move on and talk about Duterte. Very, very controversial leader, okay, out of the Philippines. If you're not familiar with Duterte, I mean, he's riding around on motorcycles. He's got leather jackets on. He is executing drug dealers, all levels. Let me repeat that, all levels. So, it's tough for me. He's told the United States to stay out of his business like nobody else. Like nobody else. But he's not so happy with the arms deals he's been doing with the United States. And Duterte, I mean, they got him grabbing women. I mean, this guy is wild. He's a wild man. And a lot of people like him. He's loved in the country because he is taking on a lot of the cartels and the violence there. And it's no nonsense. I mean, this is a street justice leader. Okay? So it's hard for me to fully endorse this guy. I think he's very outside of the control of the United States military-industrial complex. Not that he hasn't tried to be controlled, but who's he turning to right now? He's turning to Israel to try to get a better arms deal. And remember, if you look all the way back in the Iran-Contra affair, for instance, people often leave out Israel's role in that, but Israel had a huge role in those weapons. The weapons came from Israel. Okay, so the drugs would come from South America. The money would be, it would come from South America within the United States. They'd make some money. They'd be able to buy the arms with that black money, and the arms would come from Israel and then be sent to South America. So Israel is an arms dealer. It's not new. And, you know, Duterte getting into bed with Israel, it's kind of a bizarre alliance to me, but at the same time, it makes sense. It's something we should definitely keep our eyes on. And again, if you don't know anything about Duterte or what's going on in the Philippines and what, you know, I mean, he's literally, let's shoot him in the street. Doesn't care. Judge, jury, executioner right there. 18-year-old kid, whap. Dunzo. Dunzo. And that's certainly not how I would like to handle our policy. I think that's insanity. All right, moving on to the next story here. The New Mexico compound. We have to talk about the New Mexico compound. Now, all five of these people are back in custody after they were released. They were released, three out of the five of these people, where they found a dead toddler, a three-year-old. He would have been four while they started looking for him. Okay? Think about that. A dead three-year-old, and if you saw, well, we're gonna go over it. In fact, this is something I wanted to do. I did this little mini doc earlier this week, and what led to the FBI rearresting them? I couldn't believe that they were actually out of custody. So let's start this bad boy up, and I'm going to be pausing it momentarily and going over little sections and things that I left out of the video for time purposes and moving it along and kind of give commentary on this one.
So what the hell happened at the now infamous compound in New Mexico? The media initially claimed that the compound was a training ground for children to carry out school shootings.
Five suspected Muslim extremists accused of abusing 11 children while training them to use an assault rifle for future school shootings, according to court documents.
They accused the 40-year-old and four others of child abuse and allegedly training children to carry out school shootings.
Now the outrage continues and the mystery deepens as three of the five adults residing at the compound were released without charges, which is being attributed to prosecutors missing the 10-day limit for an evidentiary hearing to establish probable cause for the neglect charges.
Two judges were forced to drop the charges, all due to a missed deadline. Prosecutors had 10 days to schedule a court hearing to establish they had probable cause for the arrest, but for unknown reasons right now, they never did so.
The prosecutors failed to meet a preliminary hearing deadline.
The rule is very clear that if somebody is in custody and 10 days goes by, that the district court shall dismiss the matter without prejudice.
How did this all begin? One of the recently released residents of the compound, Lucas Morton, actually owned a plot of land in the New Mexico desert. However, the compound that was built on an adjacent property owned by the Badger couple.
Tanya and Jason Badger have been dealing with...
This is their bathroom, I guess.
This since this winter. The Army veteran couple bought this 10-acre plot with the plan of building a getaway cottage. The landowners say Lucas Morton and Siraj Wahaj mistakenly set up camp on their lot sometime after Christmas. They owned the lot directly behind the Badger's land, and for months they've been either trying to sell their land or kick them out. All attempts have failed.
Now, Lucas owned a piece of property, but accidentally built the compound on the property next door to it, which belongs to Jason Badger, the man you see in the hat right there. So Jason tried to have them evicted in June, but it was dismissed by the courts.
Even more disturbing is the fact that Siraj had kidnapped his young son in Atlanta from a previous relationship.
All right, so do I want to stop this there? All right, so first of all, they're not even on the correct property, which is so bizarre because Morton actually owns the other property. How did that mistake happen? Okay, that's extremely weird, I would say. Don't you think that, you know, they set this thing, this makeshift campsite up that just looks incredibly filthy and crazy. And I realized that it was probably flipped by law enforcement. But if you saw what it looked like outside, if you saw that this couple, again, had been asking law enforcement to do something for months and nothing was done, well, there's a lot of unanswered questions here. And now here's where it gets weird, because they wanted this guy on a kidnapping charge. He didn't have custody of this kid that he kidnapped from his ex-wife in Atlanta. So let's continue.
Only were the authorities aware, but the Badgers reported the boy was at the compound and had vanished. Still, nothing was done.
Abdul Kahani Wahaj is the 3-year-old boy that police say was abducted from his home in Georgia at the beginning of December.
Property owner Jason Badger says for months he begged local investigators to do something about the family squatting on his land, worried about the little boy named Abdul that he recognized from a missing child's poster.
I called the Missing and Exploited Children's Hotline. I called the New Mexico State Troopers, I called the Taos County Sheriffs, and notified them that they are on our property.
Now he wishes investigators would have moved in sooner.
He had said that they didn't want a police officer to go up here and do that kind of stuff because they didn't want to risk a Waco situation.
Let's pause it right there. For months, they knew the kid was there. They reported it to every law enforcement agency they could. And nothing was done. And the sheriff's department said to them, the reason they weren't going in is because they wanted to avoid a Waco-type situation. So extremely odd. Okay? Think about that. Let's continue.
Seems the police only raided the area after a call from Siraj's father, who himself is a prominent imam.
Imam Siraj Wahaj says he is used to the spotlight for many things. As the first Muslim to offer opening prayer to the U.S. House of Representatives.
All-knowing, all-wise, just God.
Is the maker of radical speeches pre-9/11.
And once you arm them with righteousness first, then you can arm them.
That he now repudiates.
The maturity is it's a growth.
Maybe 4 days ago, I got a call from a brother in Abdul Rashid in Atlanta, Georgia. He said, Sapana reached out to him and said that we need some food, we're starving. So he called me. What I do? I said, find out where we should send the food. We're gonna send the food and then the information. She did, we gave it to the police. That's why the police came in, because information that we gave them.
So let's pause that. Now, the police already had all this information from what we can tell. Now, maybe a different state authority after the fact, it's hard to tell. But we're later going to get into the fact the FBI knew about his son. And again, Siraj had two sisters there, and Morton was married to one of his sisters, and then his new girlfriend was there. 9 of the 11 children were Siraj's, not including the dead child that they found later on. Now, I know a lot of people are going to say, wow, this is a mom. I can't believe it. This is a celebrity, a mom that was saying the first Muslim prayer in Congress. That's very bizarre. And I know he's connected somehow to the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. Some people have said he's the one that blew the whistle on it. But if you look at that case in my film Invisible Empire, I clearly show that it was the FBI that created that bomb through their informant, who was an Egyptian military officer named Ahmad Salam. And we actually have those tapes in the film. So I'm not quite sure what his role is, but obviously a pretty prominent figure, at least in this community and the political Muslim community. Now, if he's correct, they move in directly after he contacts them. Even more bizarre. So let's continue with this one.
This is when police finally moved in and found 11 children starving, but not the child from Atlanta.
Authorities were searching for that 3-year-old, but say what they discovered shocked the conscience of even the most seasoned in law enforcement. Those squalid conditions for those 11 children, the worst they had ever seen.
I'm a 30-year police officer. This is by far the worst thing I've ever seen as far as living conditions. This one hit us all very hard.
Authorities saying they found no running water or electricity, and those children ages 1 to 15 living in filth in a tent tucked deep in the desert.
These children, the best way to describe it is they literally look like starving refugees.
One has to ask why the Badgers were ignored for months and why the authorities did such a poor job gathering evidence.
Now, the property owner says he was particularly concerned because after investigators left, after they said that they had seized everything they needed, he came over to this truck, he opened up the back, and he saw a tactical shotgun within plain sight, as well as a Glock. He also found a passport of one of the suspects with a visa from Saudi Arabia.
And that's where we're going to pause it right there. So, number one, I want to make the point again, this is why we need law enforcement. These children starving, I really take the officer at his word that, you know, there were 11 kids there starving to death in the middle of the desert with no running water or electricity. But they had weapons, and they had the money for those weapons, and they had bullet casings all over. And like you just heard, they found more weapons that were not taken in. And they'll show you in here, I mean, forget about it, the armor's still there, you see bullet casings everywhere. This is the poorest job I've ever seen of law enforcement supposedly gathering evidence. They found a Saudi Arabian passport. They found a Saudi Arabian passport, and it's still there. Now, one of the things I did not include in this is that the couple, the Badger couple, said there was the possibility that people were visiting the site after law enforcement had been there because they felt like some things were missing and moved. Although I don't know how relevant that really is, because if law enforcement is gone, and as you're going to see, they actually bulldozed the compound shortly after this, which is even weirder, why do they do such a poor job gathering evidence? I mean, this seems like a pretty important case. Let's continue.
There are still telltale signs of weapon instructions. I want to show you over here. These right here are training rounds for shooters that are learning how to shoot right at the beginning. This is a bag full of live ammunition. Here's a shotgun shell, a SIM card. There's even a drone.
223, this is for an assault rifle.
The property littered with trash, gas masks, and Qurans. Tonight, the sheriff has denied our interview requests, and the FBI is not commenting.
Even more alarming is the fact that the boy from Atlanta had still not been found when the media was allowed on the compound.
Abdul Wahaj, still missing, and not among the 11 children taken from the compound.
And it's gonna always haunt me if they can't find this baby.
Police interviewed 3 women found inside the compound, but so far no one is answering the question, where is Abdul?
Why isn't anybody looking? If it were my kid, I would want somebody looking, whether I was in the state or not. You know, I'm a mother. You can't just let that go.
And after his body was found, it was revealed the father had performed rituals on the child.
Warrants show Siraj is believed to have taken Abdul from his mother in order to perform an exorcism on the child.
All right, so many things to go over right here. This one's just so hard to comprehend. So, again, the investigation's supposedly over. There's still a drone, the Saudi Arabian passport, live ammunition, shells everywhere, training manuals. This guy was performing occultic rituals on the dead son they still had not found. And the media's there. Something is extremely wrong with this. And I know there are a lot of people, I've heard it all. Sex trafficking, MK Ultra, stage school shooting attempts, blaming Islam, next false flag. I'm not quite sure what's going on here. But again, that's why I made this little mini doc. We're about halfway through it. We're going to continue. There's so much more to cover in this. I'd love to get your questions or comments in the chat. Remember, those super chats help us out so much, guys. Or just hit that join button at $4.99 a month, and you'll get real independent journalism just like this.
Abdul has a host of medical issues, and according to warrants, Siraj was depriving him of medication.
So what evidence is there that this was indeed a training facility?
Only section that was kept clear was this makeshift shooting range where authorities think that children were given advanced weapons training to prepare for a school shooting.
According to court documents, one boy had been trained in the use of an assault rifle to kill as many people as possible.
One detail that was not released initially by the Taos County Sheriff's is that there was a 150-foot escape tunnel in this compound. This hole here goes into the earth 150 feet. There's a ladder at the end of this, and the owners say they believe it could be used as an escape route.
Let me show you this. This is in the middle of the desert. We've got this small hole, and this small hole is basically a ladder to a tunnel, and that tunnel extends all the way inside of that shelter, so it looks like it was some sort of escape hole or an escape tunnel.
Additionally, more firearms were found within the 100-foot-long tunnel underneath the main compound. Rifles with scopes were found in carrying cases near the exit of the tunnel. These rifles were a .308 and .30-30. Also found in its purchase case was a Glock 380. These were all found near the exit to the tunnel. A backpack full of ammunition was also found near this exit.
Despite all...
So, let me just stop right here. And I see some people in there. You know, Nance, I totally understand. I know there are other ways to do it. PayPal account. I believe there is a PayPal button. I know there's a Patreon. I think you can do that with PayPal. If you look in the... the description of most of our videos. So, you know, again, no rush, guys, but again, you do help us out with every single red cent because, this video that you're watching, I can't believe it, but the actual video behind this has been remonetized. That's great. Share this link. We do everything so that you can share this information. I mean, think about this. These people, Roosevelt, thank you so much, by the way, Jason. This documentary is one of your best works so far. Keep it up. Thank you, Roosevelt. I really appreciate it. You know, a lot of people don't even realize I'm doing these short little mini docs here. Did one on the 5G controversy. We're going to be talking about 5G towards the end of this broadcast. Also a short one on the Nexium cult. So let's look at what we just went over there. We have these tunnels. Now, I think the tunnels are a little bit hyped in the fact that they are only 125 feet, but they are an escape route. And again, the main thing to me is that they have all these weapons. And we're going to find out that all these weapons are legal. Okay? And there's even something else that puts Siraj on the radar of the FBI in May and another incident in April regarding these weapons that the mainstream media is not telling you. As you can see behind me, this is the raw footage of the hearing, which almost nobody watched, by the way. Only a little bit of the initial hearing, I think it was about 45 minutes to an hour or so, was actually broadcast. And I found it, there was like 900 people that had clicked on it. And I watched it, I was in shock at some of the things that I found. So not only are the makeshift tunnels there, apparently it was near one of these tunnels or at the end of one of these tunnels that they actually found the little boy. And backpacks of live ammunition and guns. And you saw how small that hole was. It doesn't look like a grown man could get out of that hole. But it does look like a child could get out of that hole. What were they running from? What were they preparing for? What were they? It's mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. So let's continue and see what we have to say here.
All of this, authorities aren't commenting on the handling of the case and even bulldozed the compound.
The FBI, prosecutors, and the sheriff's department all refusing repeated requests by NBC News to answer questions about the handling of the case, including why NBC's Gotti Schwartz was able to walk among the piles of potential evidence, like large amounts of ammo or body armor that were left behind uncollected, or why a court order resulted in the compound being destroyed, including the underground tunnel, which is now buried in rubble.
It should be noted that Morton seemed confident he would be released and stated the allegations were all for the cameras.
Calm down. It's all for the cameras.
So why the kids were starving?
No, that's what I'm trying to say. What they're saying is not true. It's a tree in the forest of what's going on. You know, they're just trying to play on the, you know, the public opinion. But no, that's not the case.
So it is odd to me. Again, Morton, who you see behind me here, who owned the land. How did he even have the money for this desert plot? I'm not saying that the desert plot was super expensive, but they have all these weapons. They have all this raw gear to make a makeshift camp. He actually owns a large piece of property. Again, they're accidentally on the wrong property. He's talking to his mother confidently that they're going to leave, saying it's all for the cameras, saying it's a tree in the forest. So, wow, I'd like to get my hands on all of the audio recordings of what he had to say to his mother and others. All of them had to say to anybody in jail, because this case is so bizarre.
What was my part?
Yes.
Well, they're recording the phone call, so the legal attorney, he advises not to, you know, speak on the phone.
The FBI had also been gathering information on Siraj prior to this that focused on his weapons training.
A document produced by the FBI office in Albuquerque, it's dated May 15th of this year, and it appears to summarize some information that the FBI has gleaned over time on Siraj Ibn Wahaj, the defendant here today, about the firearms training Mr. Ibn Wahaj obtained in Georgia in 2015. It notes the comments from the company that provided the training in their tip to the FBI that they've been open for 5 years and no one has taken that many classes as quickly in that period of time. So that is what made them suspicious.
All right. So let's get that out of the way. Remember, this raid happens in the beginning of August. They just admitted that the Albuquerque FBI had a document on May 15th, almost 2 months before the raid, from the Georgia FBI that had been tipped off that he had taken so many weapons training courses in such a short period of time that this business in Georgia decided to contact the FBI. Do you realize how odd that is? It's very bizarre. Now we're going beyond the sheriff's department that we just talked about, that we know knew for months, the CPS department that we know knew for months that there was a missing child on the property, that this guy did not have custody of, that needed medical attention. And now we learn, hey, the FBI was on the case too. And they had a tip because this guy had trained to use these weapons very rapidly. Very rapidly. What is going on here?
In December, Siraj actually crashed his car. A police officer found guns, but nothing was done because they were legal.
Which is part of the accident report that on December the 13th, it was about 2 in the morning, there was a single vehicle rollover crash on I-65 in Alabama. This trooper Earnhardt responded to the scene. He identified the driver as Siraj Ibn Wahaj. He identifies him by date of birth. It documents the recovery of weapons, Your Honor, which ultimately were recovered in New Mexico at the execution of these warrants. So the rifles and the handguns that were in Mr. Wahaj's possession in that Alabama wreck were later recovered in New Mexico.
Given the details of the case, serious questions must be asked about what was really going on here and why the authorities have done such a poor job in this matter.
You know, you use the right word, bizarre. Our family every day is saying, this is so bizarre, it's weird, it's like, what's going on? So there's something, I don't know. Honestly, I found out that my sons do have arms. All of them are legal. All of them are registered. Having said that, I have no idea. I don't know what his thinking was, because to do something as extreme as this, it doesn't make sense.
No, it does not make sense at all. And again, look at that. So he's not pulled over in Alabama, but he rolls a truck. So think about that. They got in some kind of a car accident and still got everything there, all those weapons. Okay? So the weapons are legal. And by the way, some of the things, again, I didn't play because of time, was that he told the officer, the Alabama officer, that he was married to this Jane woman. No, it's his girlfriend. He told them that he worked for a security firm. The officer tried to look up that security firm, look up a website. It was non-existent. It did not exist. And yet none of these weapons were taken. This is yet another state that a police report happens. Again, this is in December, 7+ months before they go into this compound. December's when he stole the kid, by the way. So this is after he'd taken the kid. Where are the kids in this rollover? Nobody. It's everything about this stinks to high hell, and I am glad that everybody is back in custody. That gives me a little bit more assurance, makes me feel a little bit better. But at the same time, man, this one's a weird one. Give me your comments. What do you guys think is going on? Am I missing something? Some people have tried to tell me that this is all propaganda. Well, if it's all propaganda, which is, I don't know, possibly the case, why are police officers saying that these kids were starving? Why are there multiple reports on the weapons? Why do we have this guy training with weapons? Why do we have such a famous imam as the father of 3 out of the 5 individuals? Why do we have a death of a child that, I mean, if you want to get into the details, apparently his naked body was washed by the other children and they thought they were going to resurrect him from the dead. So many extremely bizarre things. But I want to move on. I want to move on to the next story. New research. Technology is empowering humanity, folks. One step closer to an actual bionic eye. And this one is 3D printed. And as far back as, I think, 2008 was the first one. These type of devices, I mean, not 3D printed like this one, but actually do exist. And there are some people that have been fitted with bionic eyes, I guess you could call them. Back when I was reporting on it, I believe I put it in Invisible Empire in 2010, the device was able to see mostly movements and kind of heat signatures. I wouldn't say it was exactly like the Predator, but it was close to that. Now we're talking about getting to the level where it not only is it as good as your real sight, but it may actually improve your sight. And that's where some of the danger lies. That's where maybe technology starts to enslave humanity a little bit. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? Because technology is simply a tool. It's a hammer. I can build my house with a hammer, or I can bash someone's head in with a hammer. That's what a tool is. So this could be used to give sight to the blind, but eventually it could be used to take away our humanity as we edge closer and closer to cybernetics and body modifications, life extension technology, nanotechnology. This is absolutely 100% real. And that's why I wanted to close on this story. The first 5G city is here. And as I mentioned before, you know, I've been doing some more mini docs for the channel, and I did the 5G controversy explained. It's a little under 10 minutes, I believe. It doesn't go over every single thing, but you should go check it out. And aside from the cancer concerns, 5G is really a plethora of different technologies that are going to be used in order and are being used. And this is, by the way, in South Korea. It is Pango Zero City. There it is right there. And we're talking about the Track Trace Database Society, where all of your movements, whether you like it or not, are track traced and databased. Period. We're talking about self-driving cars that are powered by this technology that's keeping tabs on you by the nanosecond. Through relaying information through your digital devices, through your movement, through facial recognition software, and through artificial intelligence. This is it. And I see somebody in there saying, I have 5G. Now, you may have 5G bands, because those bands, again, are different and they are more localized. We're seeing some of those go up in Long Island, New York, without the consent of people. In fact, that's in the documentary in Connecticut. And yeah, that is that kind of 5G technology, which studies have shown actually is permeating the skin and leaving a residue there that was not there in the previous 4G, LTE, or 3G technologies. And that itself is alarming, but you're dealing with different bandwidths, the possibility that, you know, this could alter not only our health, but our moods, but by the way we think. I know there's a big movement out there talking about quote-unquote targeted individuals. And my good friends at TruthStream Media have done some really interesting work on that front. In fact, you know, I've got this right here. I'm going to unbox it right in front of y'all because I've already watched it. They gave me a code, but a little endorsement to them. This is The Minds of Men. Here, let's see it right there. In The Minds of Men, there's my DVD copy of it. I get a little special thanks in there. Melissa and Aaron Dykes, just an amazing film. And yes, one of the things that they do get to in this 3-hour and 40-minute documentary, this is not light watching, folks. I promise you, this is not light watching at all. This is the real deal. If you really want to get into the nitty-gritty, the hardcore, you think that you're well-researched, I promise you there's stuff in here that you had no idea about. The Minds of Men, and I am working on getting them on so we can do a full 1 to 2 hour broadcast with them. With that being said, guys, I think I'm going to wrap it up, let everybody get out to their barbecues, get out to their families. I want to thank everybody here, everybody that is a Patreon member, everybody that has hit that join button, everybody that gave me a small super chat tonight. I mean, thank you guys so much. Oh, you know what? I forgot I got one more super chat, and I want to go over that. Argyle. Great. Thank you so much for the super chat. I really appreciate it. And he's asking, do we still have 13 bases, U.S. bases in Syria? And let me answer that for you, because I do know that we have several more bases. We added 2 bases in, I believe it was in April. Yes, in April. And here's what's really crazy about it. First of all, there was a missile attack at a Damascus military base yesterday, September 1st, okay? It's really not clear who this was, but guess what? Russia has been running drills, military drills, near the Syria border where they believe the U.S. is about to strike. Didn't know that, huh? It was literally the 29th of August. So there are big military drills going on. Obviously, Russia does not believe the narrative that the United States is there to just fight ISIS. They know what they're there for. They're there for regime change. They're there to take out Assad. That's what this is about. And with that military move in Damascus, where we now have explosions going on, folks, I guess I'll let the sirens speak for themselves. Emergency. So let's hope that military conflict does not heat up further in Syria, but something's telling me that that is on the horizon, and unfortunately what that could lead to is a military conflict in Iran. So folks, again, I thank you all for joining me on this weekly Sunday broadcast. Without you, We Are Change is not possible. So I tell you again, have a great time today, tonight, with your friends and family. And be the change you want to see in the world.